Hi, this is Catherine Fife. I'm the MPP for Kitchener-Waterloo. You're listening to The Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM with DJ Jeff Steger. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents primary farmers in the region of Waterloo. Their goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs, the farmer, with the needs of society.
Isn't that nice? Thanks so much for doing that.
We're having fun.
Yeah, I know. We don't get much time, too often we don't get to talk about agriculture or farming on most stuff in Ontario. You see the topic once in a while, and that's what we'll talk a little bit about today, because a local issue has come up about where the word farmland was kicked around in, and that was with the an OMB decision. Basically, the region of Waterloo wishes to have certain limits on how much land can be developed for sprawl, and other builders and developers think there should be more than there is. I think that's pretty well summed it up there. But and that's about it, isn't it? So the region has a certain goal for planning, and the development industry says we need more.
Yeah, and you know, I think that this comes back to just a basic tension between developers, and I'm not anti-development, it's the kind of development that I'd like to have a broader conversation about, and the region, who've really gone through a very extensive public consultation process.
Yeah.
And this goes back quite some time. I mean, in the Good Places to Grow legislation that was put forward by the Liberal government almost 10 years ago, they identified the region of Waterloo as a growth node. So they said, you know, they predicted that we're going to have an increase in our population, and to actually date, that has actually been proven quite true.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you plan for that kind of growth? And can you continue just to do greenfield development after greenfield development? And we have some of the most arable, productive farmland in Ontario and indeed Canada. And I think that, you know, with the OMB decision, they've pushed the region into a corner.
Mm-hmm.
The region has identified 85 hectares for greenfield development. The developers who challenged at the Ontario Municipal Board won the case, and the OMB decided that over 1,000 hectares can be developed. Now, one of the reasons why I've weighed in on this, Jeff, is that there's such a disparity between the 85 hectares and over 1,000 hectares.
Yeah, that's a lot. I mean, it sort of does rage anybody who just listed without knowing the issue thinks there's a big gap there.
Yeah, something there's no common ground in that decision, right? The second issue is that I take umbrage with the Ontario Municipal Board. These are an unelected group of appointed people who do not consider the broader environmental or ecosystem, the impact on the ecosystem and the economy for that matter. And the more we develop outward, the more we pay for the infrastructure. You know, we have an infrastructure funding deficit in the province of Ontario. This is no secret. So why create more needs around infrastructure? We've seen in Waterloo region, the average size of farms is actually increasing. Farmland is being consolidated as the number of farmers decreases faster than the amount of farmland. And so the analysis on this is that the consolidation is not happening near cities in the region as the more likely result is farmland being sold potentially to developers. So we are seeing, I think, with this OMB decision, the conflict between how do we want our community to grow?
Mm-hmm.
And how are we planning, not just for next month or next 10 years, but down the line? And I've already mentioned water quality and the stress of growth on water, the water resources in the region. We're going to need the farmland. I mean, people need to eat, and we need to see some of that property protected going forward. So it's highly unusual. I know some of your listeners may be interested in this, that the government has interceded in this case.
Yeah.
But the important piece is that they've interceded on their own legislation. So we as a region, we're supposed to be focused on intensification, on going up, not out. And the region complied with that plan and complied with that vision. They got buy-in from the citizens. These are and the region of Waterloo and the municipalities are elected to represent us, just as I am. And, you know, quite honestly, the OMB has undermined democracy.
Yeah.
That is how strongly that I feel about this issue.
Yeah, I gather that. I get the OMB in the sense that, you know, we're in democracy and everybody has a chance to appeal their decision. But that really does fly in the face of, like, my goodness, what was going on here?
Right? Yeah. And so I'm not calling for the, you know, end of the OMB. I'm just saying let's reform it. It's time to have a look at how the OMB operates, how they make decisions, who is sitting on those Ontario municipal boards, and you know, at the end of the day, who has the final say? Because I think the people of this region have clearly endorsed, through election of their municipal counterparts, a vision for intensification in the core, which will support the LRT, which is coming, whether or not you want it or not, mm-hmm. and protecting the rural landscape.
Yeah.
And that's really the responsible thing to do.
So it's interesting, like, you know, it's farmland, and we grow food on farmland. And so we can put a value on that, and we can put a value on what houses are worth, and if there's numbers floating around, we can do a certain thing. But how would you make numbers? How would you value things like preserving the water and open space in terms of, you know, the spiritual value, and in open space in terms of just a pleasure of life? Like, how do we preserve that we know is valuable?
Yeah.
When you can't put a number on it.
Yeah. I mean, and that's, you know, the challenge,
that's
right?
The challenge,
that
it?
Is. I mean, if you could put $1 billion price tag on the aquifer,
right,
that supports the entire region of Waterloo, then I think that every decision around expanding urban sprawl would take on a new meaning. It would have greater weight.
Yeah, people could add it up. It makes sense to them. It, yeah. Right now, it's like an apples and oranges. It doesn't make sense.
And, you know, I try to, you know, people understand pocketbook issues.
Right.
You know, how is it going to affect them? And, you know, when I have conversations with people who, you know, live in a subdivision, and I say, you know, every time a new subdivision is built, one, the value of your house decreases. And two, you pay for that infrastructure, the pipes, the water, the hydro, the electricity. There is a price for continuing greenfield expansion. And so we have to be very careful about how we do that. Because there is still room to grow in Waterloo Region, but the disparity between 85 hectares and over 1,000 hectares...
That's a lot.
It's just too big of a distance, in my mind. And... And people understand that, you know. I mean, plus we do have an aging demographic.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of folks who do have those big houses up in Beechwood or out in Westvale and or Clare Hills. And, you know, when the kids age out, hopefully they move out. And then, you know, couples or singles are going to be looking for a different kind of housing accommodation. So families can move into that space. And ideally, folks choose a more sustainable way of living where you only need maybe one car, or you don't need any car at all because you're living in the core.
Mm-hmm.
Access to all those amenities like the Princess Cinema and then the hospital and doctors and, you know, the local food market that comes here to the town square and Waterloo Town Square, where local farmers can actually sell their you know, vegetables. So
mm-hmm.
I mean, we have to think differently about the way we plan for the future.
It'll be interesting, and I think there's probably all party and all party support in Toronto for preserving farmland and open space. It's just the devil is how to do that. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And encouraging. It's encouraging to know that I'm sure all parties are interested in doing that. We just don't know how to do it. That's the
yeah. Well, I think that in this instance, though, Jeff, I think the region of Waterloo developed a plan and a strategy, and they did. They spent 4 years. On this plan.
Mm-hmm.
And they followed the rules that the government put out in front of them, and it's a very strange situation to now have the government interceding in a case against their own policy, against their own legislation. And so that should be a pretty good wake-up call that this isn't working. The way that the OMB is currently set up is not working for you or me or farmers or developers even. And let's look at the guidelines that that frame those decisions around future planning.
Yeah. We were talking a little bit about the census lane. I'm glad you had a little chance to look at that. Now, I just want to look at that for a second because there's an interesting fact and figure on this one. And in this, it's on the first page, it's the total number of farms and has Cambridge, Kitchener-Waterloo, the townships. And Kitchener-Waterloo actually has some farms.
Yeah.
There are 16 farms, according to this document, in that in those urban boundaries. Now, I do know that one time, the reason why they listened together was there were so few in Waterloo, which is this riding, that you could theoretically identify that those farms by those numbers.
Yeah.
But, you know, we think we don't, you as an urban MP, it's not true. You're still have farms, and within 5 minutes of your place, you can be in farmland. So.
Yeah, and actually...
Isn't that surprising? I thought it was kind of...
It is, and actually I did a Jane's Walk a couple weeks ago and was able to go to Little City Farm and, you know, have a conversation with some. I think they're just trailblazers. They're living off their land within the urban setting, and everything from chickens to vegetables. And you know, about 35 people came out that day. They're really intrigued by this concept of an urban farm.
Yeah.
But back to the census, Jeff. I mean, for me, the most shocking stat in this was the total number of farms in Kitchener-Waterloo in 2006 went from 35 to 16. Mm-hmm. So we've seen a drop in by 54%. And you know, so I think that it raises the question of, like, how can we support the current farms? I also heard a recent stat that women are really moving into agriculture, and so the a growing number of women are farming 5 hectares and under, 5 acres and under.
Yep. Yep.
And so these are hobby farms, but they are also small businesses. Really, one of the other stats, which this is the census bulletin from the region of Waterloo, but the number of farms reporting the sale of certified organic products rose to 41 farms in 2011, up from 35. So we are seeing an addition of 44 farms sold uncertified organic products, while 7 more farms are actively adopting organic practices. And, you know, this is the way of the future, is, you know, returning, going back to basics. And
That actually brings up a very good question, Catherine, because local food's a big deal, and we know a lot of our members are producing local food. 10% of our members are. What we don't know yet, no one has been able to put a finger on, is just how far can this go? This can't be, can it be everything? Can all the farmers in Ontario produce local?
I don't have the answer on that, but I think that, you know, your large scale farms would be really challenged to go organic. But you know who's driving this is the consumer. So, you know, if you and I are willing to pay a little bit more for organic, then the market would adapt to that consumer driven need. And certainly we've seen that. I mean, even just to go out and to go out to restaurants, you know, I don't know if you've ever been to Seven Shores over here. They can identify on their menu where every single item comes from. So if it's not just local, but it's fair trade, if not, and they adapt their menu to the seasons, right? So in the winter, deep winter, you're not eating strawberries. And certainly Seven Shores is one of those restaurants that, you know, as a patron, I make a point of visiting there because I want to support a local business that adheres to those principles and values of organic and fair trade. Yeah. And I don't mind paying a little bit more.
Yeah. So, we got a phone call.
Are you going to get that, Jeff?
Well, I don't know. I guess I will.
What do you do in community radio if the phone rings?
Well, I usually got the tech guy to do it here, but what I'll do is I'll play a song and we'll get back to these guys.
Okay,
we'll
read
back with our guests.
Sundown in the Paris of the prairie, we kings of all treasures buried. And all you hear are the rusted breezes pushing around the weather vane Jesus. Zippo lighter, he sees the killer's face. Maybe it's someone standing in a killer's place. 20 years for nothing, well, that's nothing new. Besides, no one's interested in something you didn't do. We kings and pretty things. Let's just see what the morning brings. There's a dream he dreams where the high school's dead and start. It's a museum and we're all locked up in it after dark. The walls are lined all yellow, gray, and sinister, hung with pictures of our parents, prime ministers. We kings and pretty things. Wait and see what tomorrow brings. Late breaking story on the CBC. A nation whispers we always knew that he'd go free. They add you can't be fond of living in the past. 'Cause if you are, then there's no way that you're gonna last. We and pretty things. Let's just see what tomorrow brings. We kings and pretty things.
Hi there, this is Dennis Jansen from Farmers Feed City speaking, and you're listening to The Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture.
Okay, we're back. Well,
did you like that song, Jeff?
Yeah, that's the Wheat Kings. That's not the hockey team out there, is it?
No, it's the Tragically Hip, and the song is Wheat Kings. And that song, actually, I listened to at length almost every single day during the by-election. Mm. And there's a really good line in it. It's called, "No one's interested in something you didn't do." And because, you know, when you go in, when you run for provincial politics, any level, actually, there's risk. And so, you know, I mean, if you really believe that you can make a difference, then you should stand up and do it. And the Tragically Hip, I mean, they're an iconic Canadian band.
Yes.
How can you not love that band? And also, I mean, my other favorite song from the Hip is New Orleans is Sinking. But when New Orleans actually did sink, it really ruined the... It really ruined the song for me.
Spoiled the mood a bit on that one.
Yeah. There's a whole new political conversation about that, but perhaps another show.
Yeah, we could. It's community radio, as we say. We could do anything in this show. And today, folks, it's the Agriculture Show. It's episode 50. With me is Catherine Fife, and she is the MPP for the Kitchener, or for Waterloo. Waterloo? Is
it just Kitchener-Waterloo Riding.
Kitchener-Waterloo Riding, okay. Yeah. So one of four in the region, and we're just delighted to have Catherine here representing one of our ridings and a fellow resident of the region of Waterloo. And we hope our show is bringing some insight to you, our listener. Mostly we're hoping it's our urban listeners who may be interested in agriculture but not know too much about it. So we're just glad to bring in our guests to talk about farming and all things farming. So today we've talked about a number of things of the census and so on, and we're just in our last bit of our show, and Catherine has a few things that she'd like to talk a bit more about that's up her expertise in the alley. I tried to talk to her and just talking about labeling a bit, but we also have something you want to talk about.
No, I think I agree with you, Jeff. I think that labeling needs to be clear. I mean, people need to make informed decisions about what they're eating, whether or not it's organic or not organic, if it's processed or not processed, if it's genetically modified, for instance. I mean, this is people are becoming more and more aware. I mean, but just the whole, you know, I come from the education sector, so I'm very cognizant of the fact that we do need to create more informed, informed...
I'll have to get back to you, Ron.
To more informed consumers. And you're never too young to learn how to read a label.
Yeah.
I mean, the way that I do it with my children is that if you can't pronounce the word, it's probably not that good for you, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And but also just having conversations with your kids about, you know, if they really feel like a vegetable, it's because their body really needs it. Mm-hmm. And if they get a headache, it's because they're not being hydrated enough. And the best thing to drink is water.
Yeah.
And so we have conversations around our dinner table all the time about food. I am raising some foodie children because I love to cook.
Well, you know, there's an interesting mention of it because so the Federation for Agriculture has this idea that they ought to bring back, believe it or not, home economics into school.
It absolutely needs to come back.
Idea?
Yeah, I mean,
that's awesome.
You
know, just like people, they have to how could, what a better way to teach people about food than if yeah, I prepare it. I now have to know more about it.
Yeah, and you know, I'm thinking right now actually about Hurley's because Hurley's Farm, they actually have classes come through. You get to meet the farmer, and there's a connection. Like, this is really important. And I read this book about 6 years ago, said, No Child Left Inside.
Right.
It's because we're raising a generation of children who have no connection to nature. And how can you expect them to protect nature and have an appreciation for nature if they never spend any time in it? And so even at the school board, we fought for environmental education.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you grow up in the inner city, you may never walk in the woods unless you have that opportunity through the education system. And so those environmental education programs are so important. And it's because experiential learning needs to have a renewed focus in the public education system. Not all of the learning should happen within four walls of a classroom, and we have to get kids out. And some of the things that the school boards are doing, both Catholic and public, is those outdoor classrooms, so creating some shade. And that's happening primarily through fundraising, but they are really great community projects.
There's something coming up here actually in the end of June. It's you can actually go visit a dairy farm.
Yeah.
And I left some brochures on this table. I can't see. I know I didn't bring some along, but those I know from the farm perspective, those have been immensely successful.
Yes, I bought my rubber boots, and I'll be going on a tour soon.
Yeah, is that one by New Dundee? Is that the one you're looking?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm so glad you're going. That's great.
Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to it. But as I said, I'll go well prepared, fashion coordinated.
Were you down at the blind match well prepared with rubber boots?
Never seen so much mud in my entire life. Of course, I was on cloud nine because I just won the by-election. But had the boots, I had the umbrella, and I think that was the first year that the match actually didn't happen because the torrential rain was so oppressive.
Mm-hmm.
But really, I mean, that's where we started talking provincially. Anyway, the government tried to introduce the Local Food Act at that venue. And then Parliament was prorogued. So we had that delay of almost 4 months. And then we actually just passed it on Thursday of this past week. And it's G36, the Local Food Act, and it's introduced to create a plan to promote local food. Now, you know, there's a lot of debate about this, Jeff, in the House, because There's the movement is already afoot. And so this is sort of one of those examples of the government trying to catch up to something, some good ideas that are already happening.
Yeah, that was introduced back like in 2010, I think.
I know.
A long time ago, but by Andrea Horvath, I think.
We put it forward as an idea. But you know, I mean, mm-hmm. in a minority government, you can get things done. I mean, look at the budget. We got some major things accomplished on youth employment and home care. And we've got a financial accountability office now in place, mm-hmm. Well, as promised, and it's actually going to be in the budget. And because we have to have a review of how we're spending tax dollars and yeah. where are our priorities. Yeah. And certainly investing in the rural economy needs a renewed focus for sure.
Yeah, and I'm glad to hear you say that because, you know, it's one big old society here, urban and rural, and nothing more secures the rural population having a knowledgeable urban population talking about the issues.
Jeez, your phone rings more than my phone, Jeff.
I can't believe that. Let's go to break. We'll play a song and we'll do a little on our way out here and we'll be right back.
Okay.
I had lilacs outside my room. I had a little blackbird whistling me a blackbird tune. I had conkers swinging high in the chestnut trees. I had enough honey for at least 1,050 bees. I had butterflies and cups everywhere. I had a little cornfield with scarecrows and crows to scare. I even had clover, three leaf and sometimes four. But what I had back then, I'm afraid I don't have any more. 'Cause big bulldozers cut through my rolling hills. Men with suits and cell phone ears put concrete on the daffodils. And gold in the milk, diamonds in the sugar, stirred it up with bribery. Old Mrs. Brown couldn't turn them down. When the developers came to tea,
Mrs. Brown, it's the developers here. Will you let us in right now?
I had next door neighbors dropping in. I had a little corner store full of almost everything, a pinter on my doorstep, thanks to a friendly cow. But we just go like sheep to ugly supermarkets now. Streams of cars and traffic jams, they put a motorway where there used to be baby lambs. Gold in the milk, diamonds in the sugar, stirred it up with bribery. Old Mrs. Brown couldn't turn them down. When those developers came to tea, well, they put gold in the milk, diamonds in the sugar. They took my childhood away from me. Old Mrs. Brown couldn't turn them down. When those developers, those mean developers, when those developers came to tea.
Hi there, I'm Mark Schwerer from Region Waterloo Public Health, and you're listening to The Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Region Federation of Agriculture.
Well, time flies by, eh, Catherine? Holy smokes, hope we're having fun, too.
Yeah, a couple phone calls and the show's over.
I know. It's like, what do these people think? Well, we're glad to have... if I knew how to make the Twitter work, we could have done that. So, and I hope you have a chance to distribute our show when I get it up online to your followers, too. We'll get this an edited version on... not that we didn't say anything bad, but just so I have to record this stuff. It's being sort on various medias that I have to collect together into one spot. So... this is our last of our show. We'll do a little quick little recap of what we were talking about and maybe something we forgot about, and just to tell your listeners, so you're listening to The Agriculture Show, this is episode 50, and this is May 21st of 2013, and today's guest is Catherine Fife, and she is the MPP for Kitchener-Waterloo in the Ontario Legislature. And we talked about a lot of stuff, Catherine. We talked about how you came to live in this area and your school board experience and when you first got to the countryside and smelled that fresh country air, I believe.
It was fresh.
It was very fresh.
Yeah. But, you know, I think that one of the more important things is that, you know, it's so important to actually raise the profile of the agricultural sector and business. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm just going to cite a little stat here, but an economic impact study in Waterloo Region found that every job in the agricultural sector supported four additional jobs in the local economy, and that each dollar of sales in agricultural sector generates an extra $2.40 CAD in sales in the local economy.
Mm-hmm. That's so a great study. We'd like to do that again sometime. That's
You know, we need to be tracking the income, the impact, because we have to make the case for continued investment and renewed investment. And I think, you know, we sort of left off on the Local Food Act, and of course we supported it because how can you not support local food? Mm-hmm. But we're also committed to making it better. And I think that one of the key pieces that's missing in this act, and we'll try to embed it as it goes to committee, but there is really no vision as to how we want agriculture to look in 25 years, let alone 5 years. And if we are going to have the successful farms Ontarians say they want, then this must change. And that means, you know, coming on shows like this and putting forward that vision. And I think that, you know, my background in education is helpful because we have more and more students who are not moving into farming. Mm-hmm. It's not seen as a viable profession. And I think that this is really concerning for it should be concerning to everyone in the province. Yeah. And getting back to that local food movement, what a key opportunity it is to connect this generation to the rural landscape. And I think that, you know, we think we'll be a healthier society if we plan responsibly, and that's why the OMB decision is so concerning as well. So we have planning, we have education, we have the economy, and there are good things happening. But we actually need an act that has a little bit more substance. Mm-hmm. And the informed voices, the lived experiences of farmers have to be part of that conversation. It can't be from Queen's Park. If there's anything that I've learned thus far, being newly elected to the legislature, is that what happens at Queen's Park actually needs to be more connected to what actually happens in the province as a whole.
Yeah.
And when you listen to those lived experiences of farmers and who've very clearly said to us that the red tape is oppressive, and they just want to get down to the work that they need to do, then, you know, those voices, they need to be respected.
Yeah, there's a lot of discussion on that. You know, that there's certain responsibility that they to do red tape because, you know, if you're going to live in a developed society, which we are with intact laws and so on, you have an obligation to follow the rules. So it's sort of a two-way street for the farmers. Some responsibility that in fact they do those rules because
I agree with you. I mean, because we do produce the most safest, high quality food in, I mean, that's our niche market, right? There's no question about quality, and hardworking families in agricultural communities must be freed up to do what they do best, and that is farm. And I'm sure you would agree that farmers need certainty and clarity on land use issues when dealing with government. And so that goes back to the OMB issue.
Yeah, which we started
and,
out
to. And quite honestly, and maybe this is the final point, but I don't think there's any reason why government can't put its money where its mouth is and buy Ontario produce and goods for use in public facilities. I mean, we can be part of the solution around supporting local farmers by purchasing local food.
Yeah, and as you said earlier on the show, we do lead by example here in Waterloo Region. A lot of things that are happening that don't happen anywhere else.
A lot
else.
Of good things, yeah.
My goodness. So, well, you know what? This has been a real hoot. A hoot.
Is that your saying, Jeff?
Well, that's hoot? The saying now.
All right.
A hoot and a phone call.
This has been quite a WKRP in Cincinnati experience for me.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, it just as an MPP, you're going to have a pile of experiences, and it's nonstop people. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? We hope we just gave you a little reprise for a day where we can talk about music and have some fun. That's the main thing.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I really enjoyed being here. Thank you very much for the invite.
And when... when we hopefully we'll have another show again, we'll talk some more about agriculture issues. But I'm sure in another year or so, there'll be another pile of stuff come across the table, and hopefully the OMB thing is resolved, and we say, well, wasn't that worked out well or bad? And
yeah, no, let's have another date here, Jeff.
I like that when you talked about getting them all four parties together, and we'll talk a little bit about what would be a good long-term vision for agriculture that would incorporate some of the protecting biospheres and water recharge. How do we do that?
Yeah.
That would be a great discussion.
And all of the MPPs that are in this riding, we're watershed MPPs. Like, we have the Grand River Conservation Authority and the watershed. Yeah. And so in any decisions that we make, we should be taking a broader perspective around the entire environmental spectrum, because these, you know, we're planning for the future here. Right. And I think that, you know, in a minority government setting, there's no reason why we can't accomplish some real results for farmers. And I think that actually it's perfectly reasonable for them to expect real results in this setting. Yeah. And you've just heard today that the NDP is going to be supporting the budget going forward. Yeah. That would have been a confidence motion. If we didn't support it, we would be in an election. Mm-hmm. So instead of going to an election, we're going to continue to work on the committees. We're going to continue to listen to Ontarians, and we're going to continue to put forward ideas and get results. And you know what? People want politicians to work harder, not less.
I think you're right there. We all have a job or in a situation may not be to our liking, but this is the job at hand, and do that job and before the next job comes along. So, you know, I think there's lots of Ontarians respect that decision of the NDP and Liberals to work together on this rather than force another election. I think there's some good there.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's good. Well, it's been a good learning experience for me here, Jeff.
It's been a lot of fun, Catherine, and we'll look forward to another time and hope the rest of your day goes well. And thanks again for coming up today.
Okay, thanks, Jeff.
Okay. And we'll be back next week, folks. The Agriculture Show at CKMS 1.3 Sound FM. It's your host, Jeff Steger, and we'll see you next week.
Message.